to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Well, every Saturday, that's what we try to do here, is understand the perspectives, the new paradigms for a new world. And the new beliefs, the new concepts, the new mindsets that are out there, and they are coming out of the woodwork, they're coming up from the ground, blossoming out, and they are helping all of us to define ourselves, define our families, our communities, and our world, where we want to be from where we are today. We already know where we were and how we got here, at least I'd like to think that we do. But sometimes we don't always learn from history, so maybe we can learn from our present and choose a new future. Through to that end, we're going to be talking with my special guest here on the program today. Her name is Marianne Eyre, and she is the author of Walking with the Saints, Spiritual Practices and Insights to Enhance Your Journey Through Life. And Marianne, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Richard, for having me.
Now, as we begin each of these programs, we want to get an insight into who you are and why and how you got started. And if anybody has been to the website, whether it's your website, which is walkingwiththesaint.com, and we'll find out who that saint is in a little while, they will notice that you and I share a common history in as much as we were both born and raised into the Catholic Church, and I sort of jokingly made the comment that it seems as though more people have gone on to higher thoughts and broader perspectives coming from the Catholic Church, because I think maybe unintentionally they sort of opened the doorway because of all of the beautiful ceremony, ritual, and even the mysticism, the mystery that surrounded the faith. So tell us from that point how this all began, because you're not on that specific path anymore, are you?
Actually, I would have to say I'm on that and this as well, because this is what I'm doing now is an extension of that. And unfortunately, as we know, with the progression of the translations of the Bible, it took thousands and thousands of scribes to get to the point where we had a printing press and we had, for example, the King James Version. So until then, we had scribes interpreting the Bible and all the biblical texts according to what they believed to be true, and so it would unfortunately only reflect their level of understanding. And it wasn't the direct words of the Master Jesus or the disciples who were directly influenced by Jesus, but it was a translation. So by the time we get to King James Version or some of the Greek versions, we might have lost a lot of the power of the words and the mystical import of the great text, the Bible. So if we look around the whole globe, we see, yes, we've got a problem here, but there are texts, however, which are directly linked to the words of the saints. There's one called the Guru Granth Sahib, which is a representation of 52 saints and their exact words. And it has not been altered since it was written, and it is in actuality, more than 500 years ago it was written. It was written by a living saint, so there can't be any misrepresentation. And when these holy people who give up everything to know God and have, in essence, God realization or experience of God, their words become very powerful and meaningful to us, and they are linked to the higher realms, which is the birthright of every human being.
So in the process of putting this book together, you entitled it Walking with the Saint. When we come back, I want you to help us to understand the walk that you've been on and this particular individual, this saint that you have written about, and these practices that you have put together in this book called A Walk with the Saint, Spiritual Practices and Insights to Enhance Your Journey Through Life, as we are all journeying. So we'll talk more about that as we continue here with Marianne Ayer. She is the author of Walking with the Saint. It is available not only through the website. You can go to richarddugan.com and to the radio show's page, and you can click on her link or Marianne Ayer, and not only listen to this interview once we've finished with the program, it'll be available as an archive, but you can also click on her link, her name, and it goes straight to her website. And Marianne, I believe that for this program only, you're going to make available a complimentary copy to anybody who will email you at Marianne, that's with an E, M-A-R-Y, A-N-N-E, at 10th, that's T-E-N-T-H, 10thgatepublishing.com. And we'll mention that again as we continue on in the program, okay?
So that's great.
Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan.
Restoring balance and joy to your life can be achieved by letting go of negative thought patterns and destructive habits. Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Are you tired of all the deceiving ads used by distant, faceless mortgage lenders? Five Star Finance provides long-term personal guidance to select the best loan for you. Using relationships with dozens of the nation's finest lenders, they'll meet your needs with just one application. Five Star Finance maintains the highest ranking with the Better Business Bureau. With four Central Coast branches to serve you, call Five Star Finance now. 964-2200 for all your mortgage needs. We care about your future.
Honey, I'm home.
Where have you been, sweetheart?
I've been to the market, discovered something really new. A lettuce called Live Gourmet.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
It's packed in a see-through box. At first, I thought it was a beautiful green flower. Then I read the label. It's lettuce nurtured in a greenhouse.
I could use some nurturing myself.
Listen to this. Live Gourmet lettuce is still alive.
Really? Does it talk, too?
They leave the roots on to preserve freshness, so it's fresher, better tasting, and longer lasting. And they never use pesticides.
No pesticides?
That's right. Plus, they won a gold medal from the American Tasting Institute.
I'll tell you if it tastes better. Hand me a leaf.
Here you go.
Mmm, this is good. Real good. Crunchy, too.
See?
Never tasted a live lettuce before. Live Gourmet. Do you have to be a gourmet to eat it?
No, dear. You just have to be alive.
Gee, honey, you're terrific. You always know how to find the best products.
Now, isn't that why you married me?
You'll find Live Gourmet lettuce in the fresh produce department of your supermarket. It's fresher because it's still alive. Want to know more? Visit their website at livegourmet.com.
And this Saturday afternoon, we're walking and talking with Marianne Ayer, and she wrote a book called Walking with the Saints, and we're going to talk about that and find out who this mystical person is. It's going to surprise you, to say the very least, who this individual may or may not be in your own life. We want to find out a little, Marianne, about how this book came into life. I have a copy of it. It's a paperback, if you will, or soft cover, I guess they call it. But it had its beginnings, its origins, obviously, long ago. Tell us about that.
Yes, actually, it started with what is typical of many Catholics, a questioning or one's own faith, realizing that some of the blanks were not filled in. We had to figure out, in fact, if there really is a God at some point, or if we've just been told a beautiful story to keep us happy and keep us a good member of the society. So it's a life's journey. It represents about 30 years of research, starting with the Christian mysticism, and encounter with the Christian, so-called Christian mystic. And then it moves on over to a 2.5-year intense research into the ancient Sanskrit texts of India. And these texts really represent probably all of the roots of all the world religions which follow, the seven which followed. They've all been greatly influenced by these Vedic texts in Sanskrit, which is the mother of Latin and Greek.
What is it about these texts that is so intriguing to everybody? Because most people that I speak with, they always seem to go back to that point, the Sanskrit writings, the Vedas and so forth, the Bhagavad Gita and on, that there's something magical or mystical, if you will, about those writings, or what is it? What can you tell us?
Well, it's exactly what it says. I did a study called Vedanta, which is the knowledge at the end of the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Anta is the end. And so final word, it's referred to that knowledge, knowing which every other knowledge is achieved or understood. And it basically is a dialogue between a series of dialogues called Upanishads. It represents between guru and disciple. It was a profound inquiry into the nature of self and God in the world. And each dialogue is different, but the truth and the themes remain the same, that the self and God are one and the same, and that by understanding the self, one can come to understand God. And the ancient Vedas clearly have understanding that the human being is not just a physical body of the five gross elements, but human being has a etheric body, a mental, emotional body, an intellectual body. In other words, different aspects of self and a soul body. So it is understood that by transcending physical body with spiritual practice, one can come into contact with astral and or you might say intellectual after that, and then transcend to soul body experience. Because each of these bodies or encasements of experience surrounding the human being have their own modes of perception and portals of experience. So the whole idea with yoga is an idea of yoking or becoming one, just as Jesus stated, "If thine eye be single, if thine eye be single," meaning, if you only appear through not the duality of the world of opposites, but to the place in the human body where there is a single third eye, that is the seat of the soul. And when all of your attention, which is the nature of the soul, is withdrawn from the body as a current up to the third eye, it can enter a portal of knowledge called the tenth gate. And that's referred to as the seat of the soul. However, before that takes place, you will see years and years and years of spiritual practice for the withdrawal of the soul up to that point, in which case its light becomes so powerful like a laser beam, as opposed to our attention being scattered all over the world and dissipated. And this is creating a restless mind, an ever unhappy mind, not at peace. However, these ancient spiritual practices and modes of inquiry will take you back to a point of peace where you have yoga or yoking or oneness or union. And this mystical experience is referred to by the seven major spiritual religions of the world that we recognize today.
I find it interesting that nowhere in this, so far in this information that you've provided us, do you refer to belief, that it has to do with knowledge, knowledge of self, knowledge of the existence of God and what that is, even in the Vedas and the Sanskrit writings, as you've described. It talks about knowledge. So tell us, how do we transcend belief to knowledge? Seems to me that would be a better place to be.
That's a very good point. As you know, what's often referred to in the Catholic religion as belief or hope and faith is a mechanism. It's a spiritual practice in itself to get to the place of knowing. For example, Saint Teresa de Avila of Spain said that in one moment, I understood more than I knew in my whole life. Now, that knowledge or inner core understanding is a mystical experience which cannot be had with just the usual mind at play, but it is when mind is quiet in the seat of prayer that this understanding of soul union with God can take place. But that cannot take place as long as we are tuning our radio of attention on the level of the mind with all of its static and its friction and its problems and its goals and purposes. But the minute you go beyond mind, you go into the peace that passes all understanding, and that is where the door of the 10th gate opens into the realms, as the Buddhists refer to as the 3,000 worlds that exist. These are all realms of experience. What is very significant here is that as I cross-referenced and studied the different religions from the Sanskrit base of Vedanta all the way to all the Buddhist practices and sects, Christian mysticism, and look into the profound works of the Muslim mystics, you begin to see that regardless of the phase or the time, regardless of the culture, there is a theme that runs throughout. And it is basically that the human being is far greater and more powerful than you can ever imagine. It is the most phenomenal experience to know oneself, as the Greek philosophers would have us do, as not limited to this paltry world, but in relation to a much greater soul self and what the soul self needs and wants. We have, unfortunately, by not understanding the soul, neglected it terribly and have no way of really knowing ourselves as soul. Yet, what is very interesting here is that every world religion will speak just about of reincarnation, and so each and every one of us has thousands of lifetime experiences and great knowledge that comes into this birth. And how is it that we are so powerless and small-minded and petty? Because we're only on the level of our mind. We have no understanding of who and how powerful we are as souls. So by putting attention on soul and soul body, we come to experience of the great self. And this is where the yogis and sages take on great power and understanding, and they really truly become instruments of a much higher, more purposeful life, because they're operating from soul and God, which comes later, and not from a paltry, petty mind who has its small preoccupations based on karma, which is here today and gone tomorrow. So the whole message of every single world religion and scripture is, yes, you can attain this. Start with the religions that are offered to you, and if possible, connect with a living saint who actually himself or herself has achieved the highest that ever is possible for a human being, which is union with God, and therefore speaks from a very high place, and one of great hope and understanding and love.
If you've just joined us, Marianne Eyre is our guest, and Walking with the Saint is her book, and the spiritual practices and insights to enhance your journey through life is the subtitle of the book. It's available through 10th Gate, that's like the number 10, 10th Gate Publishing, and for this program, she is offering a complimentary copy of her book if you will email her, Marianne, that's with an E, M-A-R-Y-N-E. M-A-R-Y-A-N-N-E at 10thgatepublishing.com. And we're talking about her book and her journey, and we're talking about this whole process. The thing that comes to mind as I hear you speaking these words, the difference between, as I raised earlier, between belief and knowledge, and that knowledge seems to be the better place to be, because you can't, and unfortunately we do tend to do this as human beings, you can't argue belief because a person believes what they choose to believe. You can't undermine that. And yet I find people who have a belief system who are trying to find physical evidence to support their belief. Well, it's either belief or it isn't. It's either a faith it's just there. You don't need any physical evidence to support your faith. You either believe it or you don't. And it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. It's yours, and you have to hang on to it, and you have to live it and breathe it, and not worry about what other people are thinking or saying or are doing. And I think that's a huge step for each one of us. Can you share with us any of the principles and practices that might help us to move to that next level, to where I'm going to believe and practice that which serves me and not worry about all of the other 6 billion people on the planet who have their own that are trying to tell me I'm wrong?
That's correct. And actually, if you look into the religions, let's say the four major ones that we're familiar with, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christian, Islam, each of those systems has something to purify body or to help. For example, Hinduism, Hatha Yoga, Buddhism, the Eightfold Path, Christianity, the Ten Commandments, Islam, the tenets of service and right behavior in the Quran. Each of these four systems has something which impacts body and mind. For example, for Hinduism, it's pranayama, which is breath, and Raja Yoga, which is a concentration of meditation. And each one in Buddhism, it's prostration in the mantra, the repetition of a mantra. With Christianity, it's the Catholics, it's a rosary worship service. In Islam, it would be prayer and chanting and rosary. All of them speak of devotion, which has to do with prayer and meditation and chanting. There's something about devotion which connects the heart chakra with the mind chakra and brings forth great concentration and a sense of abandonment of the world and concentration on something higher. So as one progresses with the practices, the concentration improves and doors of experience open up. What was once based upon belief and faith, which you might have come into this world with from other lifetimes, blossoms forth into experience and the mysticism which comes. And finally, each system has something for the intellect. Vedanta or Jnana Yoga, contemplation, is in Hinduism. Buddhism has Abhidharma, analysis, study of scripture and contemplation. In the Christian and the Islam religion, you have the study of scripture and contemplation. All of these focusing of the mind, taking attention away from the world and focusing it on these very, very high key concepts, having faith in infinity, in the infinite glory, in great love, contemplating these aspects, actually bring these attributes into experience on higher and higher levels. So it's like opening doors of experience for the individual. And then if a person is fortunate enough to have a meditation practice, they can actually go beyond body experience, as St. Paul said, I die daily, go into a higher mind experience of great peace and joy and love and understanding, and pierce through that even to a soul-level experience, as you witness with many of the saints that we know of in the Catholic religion or around the world. And then what will happen is that soul experience immediately translates in a desire for emergence with God. The fascinating aspect of this is if you study any of the mystic scriptures, this is inherent, the way a drop of water will hit the top of a mountain and eventually fall into the ocean. It takes a long, circuitous route. It ends up there magnetically. It will go to the ocean. Similarly, a soul, once it is freed of the encumberment of a body and mind cage, will go right toward its source, which is infinite light and love and wisdom. It will be like it's shot out a bullet out of a gun. That fast it goes toward the source of light. We have thousands of case histories, for example, of a doctor who researched what it was like when someone died in the hospital. And they would always say, I saw the light, I wanted to go to it. I was told I had to stay, I had something to do. I was shot back in the body, and there I was. And it was so disappointing because I wanted to go into the light. This is a natural inclination for meditators as well as those who experience death, accidental death, and they're told it's not their time. This is a natural inclination because this is our nature. Light, which is total love, which is total infinite, without any restriction. It's an experience of being totally free and happy. And in that experience is absolute understanding and knowledge. The yogis and the saints of an earlier time actually taught the techniques for reaching the inner light, for what St. Paul said, I die daily. Unfortunately, with the multiple thousands and thousands of translations in the Bible, we may have missed out on a lot of the inner secrets of finding the light within, emerging with that light, and experiencing the wisdom and love, which is our birthright. I'm not sure if, in actuality, there are many texts outside the body of the yogas which explore different ways of moving the attention to the place of light within. As Jesus said, my Father's house has many mansions. It is there to be tapped, and it is the bread and water of life for the soul to actually, and there is a place on the inner regions where the soul will go and drink of that water and take on the luminosity of 12 suns. And we're talking about a soul which is really basically as described as three atoms large.
Wow.
And how is this possible?
Well, I was going to ask how has that been measured?
I'm not sure how it is that it has been measured, although there is equipment which can now go past the frequency of our five sense perceptions, which can, in actuality, measure the ultraviolet and beyond. And they can read as far as what we call the etheric body. It's not the soul body. But the ancient texts will tell you that the soul body has the, you might say, only the size of three atoms. But once again, as we've come to find out, within every cell of a human being is the entire universe. That doesn't mean that this is not significant, but in actuality, within that are other dimensions. So an atom is a physical description of this dimension, but the soul is capable of going to many, many dimensions way beyond this, and merging into oversoul, which is what all the mystic texts refer to, and having that experience herself. And it is the birthright of every soul. It actually depends on if the person is able to meet someone who introduces these spiritual practices and gives that person the ability to actually hear and see beyond the realm of the body-mind structure. And in the example of the saint that I refer to in the book, it is called Surat Shab Yoga. It really means Surat attention, which is your soul, which is ever conscious, just as God is all conscious. Shabd is the mechanism of the God vibration, and yoga means the emergence of soul into God. This saint actually gives a practice of light and sound whereby at the initiation the person is able to, through light and sound, follow the vibration from a lower, more perceptible one to the highest point of the source of the soul, where it merges with God. This is a mechanism, and we've had different spiritual practices given throughout time. This is the one that is given that is very, in a way, accessible to all, whether they're of a monastic order or whether they're a householder earning their daily living. It doesn't matter, because you're just given a practice, and instead of focusing on lower chakras, it starts immediately in the third eye area, where the master opens that up at the time of initiation. So the person merely focuses there. Using these practices, the soul will follow that light and sound back to its source. Because as you know, as Einstein said, that the whole world is energy, and we have learned this. This is of a higher order. Basically, energy is made up of light and sound. Well, if you follow that energy to another dimension, to an even subtler realm, because we have subtler realms, the realm of the mind and intellect is subtle, astral level. You have causal level, which is soul, this home of the soul. That has its own light and sound. And then you have the realm of the free spirit, which has its own light and sound show. Each is of a higher frequency, more subtle and more powerful. As the attention rises to these inner regions, the soul takes on a power that it did not know it could possibly be or imagine. If the soul is left to follow the dictates of the mind in this world, it gets diminished tremendously. But if it turns around and focuses on inner, where there's a powerful light and sound vibration, and lets itself become, you might say, sympathetically vibrating at what it sees, it will climb ever so far and so fast to another level of experience. And it is like the physics law of sympathetic harmony, whereby we see in a piano, if you strike a chord or a guitar or a violin, you strike one chord and sympathetic chords will vibrate. If you get in the presence of a master saint or you're given the practices of a master saint, the vibration of those practices cause one to change one's very vibration, and in doing so become so powerfully magnetized and purified that inner worlds and realms are opened up, and one no longer needs to believe. One merely needs to tap in, or tap, 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 as Thoreau would say, knock at that door. This is the birthright of all human beings, and it is the practices which allow this to happen. Regarding all of the spiritual practices of all world religions, they each address different chakras and different levels. And each and every form of purification is nice and important, but why not go and get the best?
Mm-hmm.
Why not hear from those who are living and rooted in it? And the interesting thing about, for example, when we talk about the time of Jesus, here is a simple carpenter's son in the desert where you have a people who are not sophisticated. They live simple lives. How is it that his magnetism, his spiritual magnetism, could attract such huge crowds? And it wasn't just the fact that miracles were performed, but it is the fact that there's an energy there. And when those who are able to can be, get in the presence of that energy field, they start to vibrate and look into the eyes of the window of the soul of the saint. They themselves will have actually experiences, many speak of this, at the time of initiation. Again, you're guaranteed the experience of the inner light and inner sound, so the journey can be made possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not to say this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
I was going to say, but there are people listening who are saying, I would really like to find someone like that, but the problem I have experienced through my journeys in searching for just the right person, a saint, a master, is that they always seem to let me down. There's always that feet of clay experience that I have where they say or do something that it's not uplifting, and then I end up getting dragged right back down to where I was, if not lower. And so it's not like you can go into the Yellow Pages and look up saints and say, okay, there's St. George and I can go there, or St. Francis and I can go there. It doesn't quite work that way, does it?
No, and my book speaks of the disappointments I had when I went to India and how my heart was broken many times and how upsetting it was to see the human nature coming from the so-called godly people. And then it finally ends up with a very, very humble, simple human being who does not want to be anyone's master, who ran in the opposite direction. And this is an extremely rare encounter. And it took me years and a lot of suffering, I have to say, before I was able to find one such as Santajab Singh of Rajasthan. Because I was over guru shopping, like so many.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to say that the book explains the journey in terms of not only the pathway, but the experiences I had. Some of them were phenomenal. You know, you can say you've had an enlightenment experience, and then you would say, okay, now what? Here I am. I'm a human being. I'm a no one. I have no greater peace than I had before. I just had a taste of it. And so what now? And I found at the end of my 2.5-year profound study into the ancient Sanskrit texts and Vedanta, at the very end I was crying for God. Now that should not be for someone who's given everything up. That was because, the reason I did was because I was purified from the the sacrifices I made. I was purified enough to know what I wanted. And I might have had some experiences on soul level to know what I wanted, but I had no further way to get there. Hearing stories about pathways and teachers who take advantage of the disciples in some of the most disturbing manners is not what anyone wants to go in search of, because we're left back with ourselves and our own human weaknesses. So this is not an ordinary matter, and that's why what prompted me to write the book, because I did not want that other people had these disappointments and then stopped there and settled for less, because there is so much more to this. And fortunately, because of my, you might say, being the oldest daughter of a big Catholic family, I had so many responsibilities, I couldn't get out of the house fast enough, and I had to get more from
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
I went to India and was able to look, but others did not have that opportunity to do the kind of research. So the book just shows you, hoping that others can benefit from what I really had to struggle to learn. And then also that, yes, there is so much to this, and that there is so much hope, and that each and every one of the listeners can have the great benefit of meeting a holy being. Now, the disappointment here, Richard, is that the master that my husband and I are referring to, he is no longer with us, and so I'm not on the show promoting a given saint,
mm-hmm.
okay? But we are basically going to be guided at the right time. This holy being is in such profound meditation 20 hours a day, probably most of his life. And when this being will make himself, this soul makes himself known, the one that is connected to Sanchi and the one who's been given this duty of taking souls back to the realm beyond reincarnation, the realm beyond karmas, the realm of love, I would be more than happy to say to anyone, why don't you go and see for yourself? Because it really is up to each and every one of us who is our teacher and how we are to be benefited. It really is so divinely ordained. I'm not in a position here today to say, oh, go to so-and-so. And I didn't want, in a way, to be that kind of, pushy person in that mm-hmm. direction. I'm merely telling a story.
Right.
However, I do say that Santajay Singh did speak to my husband about the saint who will be taking these souls, and they do take responsibility for them. All the souls are innocent and pure, and all the souls eventually go back.
Mm-hmm.
Some have more cloudy vision and have more heavy karmas, so they may not choose to do that today. Other souls say, yes, this is it's for me. I want what is called in every world religion, liberation, salvation, moksha, satori, nirvana. I want that. I've been waiting forever for this, and this is what I'm ready for now. I want to meet someone who can show me a technique to access that within myself. So that you don't just get to navel chakra experience, heart chakra experience, throat chakra experience. No, you get to a place where, you know, the seat of the soul. If we fail, which is so easy to do right now, it's so easy to fail as a spiritual aspirant because the world is so difficult. We have someone there to take that burden and help us. To return to the source.
Really what it comes down to is in all of the writings that I'm sure you have read from the various religions from Sanskrit on up, that the path, so to speak, actually is it can be long and winding, but the sort of the irony, it seems as though it always winds right back at us as the individual.
Yes.
It's within us.
Yes, it is, and it is the mind is the biggest enemy and the most powerful, and it is the biggest obstruction. So, what you will see in this Christian text, for example, the Dark Night of the Soul, the Armageddon, or what you will hear about in the Eastern religion, the negative power, is actually a reality that every meditator has to encounter. But the idea is that you want to have a powerful being there to dispel it immediately. I remember when I was at the Vedanta ashram, there was a student who was a big meditator. He said, oh, yeah, I got to a place where these forces would come and sabotage me, and I was helpless. And, in fact, if you read in the inner text, they talk about the lightning and the ferocious lightning and thunderstorms that the soul has to go through, or, you know, the levels of where you have these beings that come and steal your soul power.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many obstacles along the way which need not be there if you have the inner guide, because the inner worlds, unfortunately, in the astral, for example, are treacherous as they are in the physical, if not more. They're written up in these ancient Sanskrit texts, and they're written up by the mystics as their challenges. This need not be. With a powerful mantra given by a holy God-man, this need not be. No, this can be overcome. And so you'll basically see, when you read the book, different experiences which are obstacles in the outside world, and then a few mentioned about the inner world. The levels of hells are there, because as the people who study death will tell you, the last thought on a person's mind at the time of death is the sum total of their whole life. And so if in the end of this whole life that you've lived, you end up angry, then you will go to a place in the astral where you play out the anger. And then some meditators will say, oh, yeah, I accidentally went to that place. And, yes, people are fighting, and I couldn't get out of it until I said the guru's name. Or, yes, I went to a place which was very hot and difficult. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy without great power of the master and the mantra to fall accidentally, if you happen to have a down day, into in an experience which isn't very pleasant.
Right.
And these are real.
Right. And people can read more about these experiences as well in the book Walking with the Saints. It's singular. That's Walking with the Saint, Spiritual Practices and Insights to Enhance Your Journey Through Life. My guest is Marianne Eyre, and she is making available to you a copy of her book. If you will certainly give her an email, send it to Marianne, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N-E, at 10th Gate, the number 10, it's basically 10thgatepublishing.com. So Marianne at 10thgatepublishing.com. We're going to take one more break. We're going to be right back. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, we broadcast live, and we are also streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's Richard, D-U-G-A-N.com. And we encourage you to link up and listen in every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And if you're not able to tune in at that time, hey, the program is still available. You can just go to the radio show's link on my website, and you can click on the radio show of your choice and listen to the programs. We have them going all the way back to September 8th, 2007. Stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Marianne Eyre in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. Through Angel Healing House, I can help you release emotional issues and physical ailments and finally find your inner strength to regain health, clarity, and balance in your life. Find your joy again by booking your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You know, for the past 36 years, the legendary Harry's Plaza Cafe has served quality food at reasonable prices in the comfortable home away from home atmosphere that's welcomed movie stars and celebrities, athletes and politicians, and all the loyal customers that have made Harry's one of Santa Barbara's favorite places to eat, drink, and enjoy. Yes, it's true. Everybody's wild about Harry's Plaza Cafe. Well, you'll always find happy, friendly people just waiting to serve you Harry's famous specialties. From fresh fish and big, thick, juicy charbroiled steaks and prime rib to a variety of old-time favorites that simply melt in your mouth. The biggest, most generous drinks in town and the best desserts on the planet. That's the legendary Harry's Plaza Cafe. For quality food at reasonable prices. Open every day for lunch and dinner at Upper State and Las Positas in the Loreto Shopping Center.
In today's economic climate, you might think it's impossible to get credit to buy a car. We have news for you. In fact, financing is available, and there's never been a better time to buy a car or truck. Your local dealer has access to multiple sources of credit and will work with you to find financing that meets your needs. You can find interest rates as low as 0%, end-of-year savings and rebates. Vehicle quality and fuel efficiency are the highest ever. Now is the time to buy. A message from the National Automobile Dealers Association.
And Marianne Eyre, it's been a pleasure to have the opportunity to walk and talk with you today here on Tell Me Your Story, as you've shared insights from Walking with the Saint here on Tell Me Your Story. And people can certainly get in touch with you through your website, which is walkingwiththesaint.com. And they can also get a copy of the book if they'll just email you at Marianne at 10thgatepublishing.com. That's 10thgatepublishing.com. Before we wrap up our program here, Marianne, I have a question that I try to ask all of my guests as we wrap up an hour together and in dialoguing and conversing and so forth. And that is basically why? Why do you do this? Why is this important to you? Why does it make any difference? I mean, you could have just been a good Catholic girl that grew up, married, had a whole bunch of kids like the Catholic Church has suggested, being fruitful and multiplying, go to work and raise the kids and send them off to college and live your life, be a grandmother, and then move on to the next realm. Why this path?
I think this is an individual matter. If the person requires some greater levels of peace and understanding, then it would naturally flow that you would engage in some kind of a spiritual practice. Many Catholics get great joy and peace from going to the Mass, for example, and there are other practitioners of other religions that get their source of joy and peace and love from other types of practices, such as the rosary or meditation or contemplation. But what it is just basically we want to put our attention on something higher and more permanent. And we know that it's there because the world just doesn't seem to cut it in terms of giving a person long-term happiness. It's just a temporary fix. And it usually creates more desires and a greater disturbance of mind. Trying to serve the mind and that elusive happiness just doesn't seem to bring happiness, as the mental health officials will tell you. A psychologist will say going after happiness doesn't ensure that you get it because it's elusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain in the book about that somewhat.
And again, the book is Walking with the Saint. It brings to mind a phrase I heard once that they say money, I believe it's, I would just like to have the opportunity to prove whether or not money buys happiness or not. So give me $1 million and let me see if I can prove it, that it doesn't buy happiness. But again, that's another one of those attachments. Well, Marianne, I do want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and I appreciate your taking the time out to share with us your story here on the program, and much success to you and your endeavors. Your husband, he's on the same basic journey as you are?
Yes, I was fortunate to find someone who shared my passion for, the search, and so we have joined forces, and we like to do service if we can, and we're quite happy in our household because we are able to meditate and we respect each other's individual time doing that.
Well, that's great. If you're looking for a partner and you can find one that shares your hopes, your desires, and your dreams in that regard, then you're very fortunate to have done so and to be able to journey in this life. Maybe, who knows, maybe together in the next. I find it interesting, too, what you said earlier about what one is thinking, the last thought one has before they transition into the next realm will sort of determine what that experience, that next experience will be. So I think I'm going to be very careful about what I'm thinking as I am. Hopefully I'll have that opportunity. Hopefully it's not a sudden situation where I'm suddenly jolted out of my body. But again, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. It's my pleasure.
And just stay on the line if you would. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we are wrapping up the program here on this Saturday afternoon. Join us next Saturday and every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, Your World, Choices and Knowledge of Those Choices to Help Make Your Dreams Come True. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to Lal.
Oh, there's a thousand things to do.